Okay, so today's shiur is going to be on the topic of Tzipui Zav. Right? This is right, the Braisa on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, which discusses the issue when you plate, right, when you gold plate, right, the shofar itself. Right? Most of our focus is going to be on the psul for Tzipui B'makom Hanachas Piv, but we'll cover the other psulim as well. So let's get started. This is the Braisa on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. Right after the Gemara. Shirley, would you mind? Tana Rabbanan?
Tana Rabbanan, Aruch the Kasher of Kasher. If he has a longer one and he shortens it down, it's kosher. Gadru v'amidu al gado. If he scrapes out the inside of it, so only the outer layer is still there, kosher. If he has a cover that's golden.
Oh, very important, right? So if you put a right, if you cover the shofar specifically where?
But Malcolm and Akash on the place where he puts his mouth.
Exactly, very important. Then Puzzle.
Shalom Malcolm and Akash down on the place where he puts his mouth, Kasha.
But as we know from the Rishonim, it's a little unclear. I mean, there are many parts of the shofar which are shlova makom hanachas peh, not exactly clear immediately what that's referring to.
Tipozav mivitznim, and an inner covering would be possible.
Right, if the gold is on the inside of the shofar, then it's going to be possible.
Mivikul is on the outside, inushtan akolo, if it changes the sound, become shahaya from what it was, possible. The imav, if not kasher. Nikev istamo, if he makes a hole and I guess plugs it up. Ime akev, if it stops the sound. Ime akev, if it prevents the blowing puzzle. The imav kasher.
Exactly. And the other, exactly. One last one.
Yeah, not on shofar, but shofar. If it's shofar inside of another shofar, im kol panim shemeh. If he hears the sound from the inner shofar, it's yatsa. Im kol chitzon shama lo yatsa. If he hears it from the outer shofar, then he's not yatsa.
Exactly. Right, so many different psulim here, but the most interesting one. The most fruitful one has a lot of different discussions. Is really the psul of tzipoy b'makom hanachas peh, right? And we know from the just quickly before getting to the different mahalchim here, the Gemara brings up this issue of psul b'makom hanachas peh, also in Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, right? And you remember Nachi? Do you remember why the Gemara brings it up on the top of Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph?
Because the Mishnah said
exactly. And if anything, it says upiv mitzupa zahav, right? The Mishnah says that right, the shofros right, in the mikdash on Rosh Hashanah have piv mitzupa zahav. Sounds like there's zahav on the piv. Sounds like makom hanachas peh. The Gemara asks, Nachi, would you mind? The top of Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, Atanya. Right, so again, and the question is because Pashas, it sounds like the Tzipui in the Mishnah, in the Mikdash, was the Makom Hanachas Peh.
The Mishnah said you could put gold on it, was talking about not on the Shalom Makom Hanachas Peh.
Exactly, right? It's really Shalom Makom Hanachas Peh, right? Fine. All right, so again, here you have. Is that a,
Not on this, but on when we said that if you do it Bachutz, but it changes the sound.
Yeah.
Is it, well, just practically, is that because of the weight? Like, because it's heavier, then it would change the sound? Or like, why would it change the sound if it's on the outside, not by the pen?
I'm assuming that part of the sounds of a shofar is affected by, like, the reverberations of the walls of the shofar. And therefore, there's metal there. I think that might just change. I know, but I think it also changes the. Exactly. Meaning, there's something. I'm not an expert in Israel. But part of it is, like, the shaking of the walls of the shofar. But, and therefore, if there's metal on the outside, I think that just changes the dynamic, I think, just technically. Okay, good. So here you have from the Braisa Chaf Zayin on the base, and then the Mishnah brings it up, Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, this idea of the psul of Tzpeyuza b'bakom hanachas peh. But what's not, so it's clear that it's puzzle, but what's not clear is what is the nature of the psul? What is the basis of the psul? And we're going to develop today three different approaches in the Rishonim, right, in terms of what the nature of the psul is, what's the basis of the psul, and we're going to have to analyze each one for how they connect to the broader discussion, you know, regarding the geder of the mitzvah of shofar. Let's go through it. So the first mahalach is that the psul of, right, tzipoy zav b'makom hanachas peh, is that it's a psul in the kol shofar. That somehow the tzipoy zav b'makom hanachas peh is going to change, is going to somehow affect the kol shofar. I'll leave that vague for a moment. The first rishon who says this is the Meiri. Right, Yoel, would you mind reading the Meirin, the first Rishon on Makor sheet?
Right. Since there is a
So if you stop here, it sounds like, oh, it's a din chatzitza, which we'll see in the Ramban as a different connotation. But he continues. Oh. Right, so he says, and don't give me a, and don't say it's, I'll say an actual din of chatzitza, because generally, if something is there just to beautify something, that's not, it's not actually chatzitz. So really, what is the issue here? She'in zek kol shofar ela kol zav. Yes, hol va kol over derech olav. Period. So what is he saying? That what's the psul here? Because what is the kol considered? Exactly. It's not a kol shofar. It's a kol zav. Because the kol is emanating from the zav and not from the shofar, therefore it's considered, the kol is not considered a kol shofar, but it's rather considered a kol zav. Right? So again, the Me'iri here is adopting, right, this first approach, that the chisaron is in the kol shofar, that's not, in this case, it's not defined as a kol shofar, it's rather defined as a kol zav. So, and we're going to see that the Me'iri l'shitaso is also going to explain that the psul mibifnim, right, which again, in terms of tzipoy mibifnim, not on, when it's not on, right, on where you're putting your mouth, but it's on the inside of the shofar, the Me'ir l'shitaso, as we'll see in the Hemshech, is going to interpret that as also relating to a din in the kol shofar. Y'all, when you get a chance, you see the Yesh Machshirim, and here the Me'iri is going to quote a fascinating shita, which he rejects, but it's worth analyzing.
יש מחשיר אחים בפנים, פרשם שמה שנאמה פרסם מחצפו בזב עם בפנים פסל,
Oh, very important. Right, so he quotes these deos, or this dea, or these shitos who say that the psul mibifnim is only when how much gold is there?
Majority.
Either majority, exactly, or kula. But oh, stop there. Right? But according to the shita, if there is not so much gold and it's a miyut, so then he is very important line, in kan chashash. We don't worry. Lo l'shinoi kol, not that the kol is going to be changed, and v'lo l'kol yotzi min azav, and we're not worried about the kol being halachically defined as not coming from the shofar, but rather coming from the zav. So the right, at least this daya in the Me'iri, again aligns with the Me'iri's mahalach in terms of the psul of, you know, b'makom hanachas piv. Right, that they also learn that the nature of the psul of mibifnim also relates to a din in the kol shofar. That's nekuda number one. Yes?
Yeah, meaning the idea of the just, if it's just pim to bizarre, that it would be kozav. I don't know if that makes sense, because a lot of the other people say that benofach b'shofar is an issue because chatzitza, but that would mean
that's,
that...
That's a different mahal.
Yeah, I know. But if you said benofach b'shofar, then it would still be fine, that it should be the same... Meaning if the inside of the shofar, rubo or whatever, is not covered in zav, it's just the pim, it should still probably be the kol of the shofar itself. Meaning the same idea as if you blew it from afar. It should probably be the same, it's probably still the same sound, regardless of whether or not the mouth is covered in gold. If the room of the inside of the shofar is not covered in gold, it's still probably the same normal shofar sound.
Yeah, meaning, are you basically saying, you're saying, forgetting this daya for a second, you're going back to the first line in the ear. You're saying in the case where the zahav is only b'makam anachas piv, but the whole, let's say even the whole inside is shofar, so you're asking why is it considered kol zahav?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, good question. So it sounds like he's basically saying that because you're blowing from the part of the shofar, or the part where your mouth is zav, so therefore halachically the kol which comes from that tekiah is defined as a kol zav. Exactly. That's what it sounds like. Let's just analyze this daya, and then we'll get back to some comments. But it's fascinating. So again, nekuda number one is that this daya is also assumed that the psul bibifnim is a din in the kol shofar, right, along the lines of the Me'iri. But the second nekuda, which is fascinating, is that this shita says that when the zav mibifnim is only a miyut, so then we're not choshesh for shinoi kol, or for the kol being defined as a kol zav. And the question is, why not? How do you understand that? So anybody? How did they understand why, when it's only a miyut, that it's, we're not choshesh for the shinoi kol, or for it being defined as a kol zon?
Separation, that it won't cover the whole thing.
Therefore what? Because it's only on a miyut.
The kol will be the same.
Oh, yeah. So one way to understand it is technically, right? The first way of understanding is that, no, when it's only a small amount, so it's technically it's not going to change the kol, And technically, right, the kol is considered based on the rov, which is the shofar. But the other way to learn it is more fundamentally to say what?
What's called full shofar versus what's called kozel, gather of where it changes.
Exactly. I think you mean is that you apply rubo kukula. Is that what you're basically saying? That if, right, I think the more halachic, I think the more fundamental way of understanding this daya is that they think that once rov mi bifnim is shofar, so then that triggers the din of rubo kukulo to treat it as if the entire thing is shofar. And once halachically the entire thing is shofar, so then obviously, right, any change to the, even if there was technically a change to the shofar, it's considered a change coming from shofar. And obviously, once the whole thing is defined as shofar inside, and the kol, which is emanating from that inside, is going to be defined as a kol shofar. And I think that is probably the more mistaber. So again, there are two explanations. When he says, in kan chashash, lo lishinoi kol, lo lekol yotzei min hazav, is that just technically, because it's a miyad, it's not going to have an effect on it? Or more fundamentally, halakhically, because it's rubo kukulo, because rov inside is considered shofar, we say rubo kukulo, it's as if the entire thing is shofar, and therefore, of course, everything that's, any kol that's coming out of it is defined as a kol shofar. And the reason why I think that second shot is more meduyuk is because the fact that the shear is rov versus miyad, and if it's just a technical thing, it seems arbitrary that anytime it's the gold is 49% or less, it's not going to have an effect on it, but 51% and up it does. It sounds like the shear of rov versus miyad, it sounds it's more of a halacha category that, oh, once it's rov, shofar, rubo kukulo, and then the whole din, right? It's as if halachically you view it as all shofar. Yeah.
I was going to say, is it possible then, we were saying before that if you just have the mouth part covered in gold, right?
Yeah.
It's going to make it considered a kol zav, even though it doesn't actually change.
Correct.
The sound.
Yeah.
And then this day is saying that it goes to the base of, like, whether it's...
This is bibifnim, right? Exactly.
Whether most of it or half of it. Yeah. Is it possible that they're also maybe disagreeing as to, like, where we can consider the sound of the shofar to come from?
Meaning, like, technically? You're saying, like, just like in Metzius?
Meaning, because it sounds like the first one doesn't care about, like, rope, which was less, it sounds like he's considering it to come from, like, the entrance opposed to, like,
so I would say, I think when the Meiri himself rejects this, I think he just rejects, I think, the Rubo Kukulo idea, especially according to the second try. He doesn't think you apply Rubo Kukulo here, and therefore any time there is a miut of Zav inside, right, you define the Kol as also coming from that Zav. So again, I don't think the Meiri is, because there's like a machokas and mitzias in terms of whether the kol shofar comes davka from the makom hanachas piv. At the end of the day, the kol does travel through the pnim of the shofar. I don't think anyone's arguing mitzias about that. I just think the machokas, you know, between the Meiri and his yesh machshirim is whether you can apply rubo kukulo to say rubo kukulo. It's as if, you know, the entire thing is shofar, and therefore we don't care about the zav, the miut of zav. For real.
Let's just step back for a second. Why wouldn't you put Zav on the inside of the shofar in the first place?
Yeah.
The whole point is for the Hanah of the shofar to make it like...
Not the Hanah, I mean the Hidr.
Yeah. Sorry. Then it should be on the outside. Like what's the tapas of the inside of the shofar?
Yeah.
Tell people my
shofar. Exactly. There's a golden spoon and then there's a golden shofar. Yeah, meaning, it's a good question why, but, you know, we're here, yeah, focus more on soul. Yeah.
Is this
only
before the Messias?
No. I'm fundamentally against such an idea.
What?
I'm joking. But yeah, I'm sort of joking. Generally, we try to stay away from a machlokes and tzias, just because.
Why?
But what do you mean by what you're all
about the impact of gold?
When he says in kan chashash,
think that the whole thing about does gold impact the silver percentage on the
next
year? If I say roll gold or
it's very dachuk to say it's machlokes and tzias. I mean, it's just. What are they arguing about? Just test it out. That's always the problem. So that's what I was trying to explain. It's more of a halachic machokas about whether you apply rubo kukulo here to say that if you apply rubo kukulo, that's the yesh machshirim, now the whole entire thing is shofar.
You could say, this to my folks in Mitzis, if you say that what they're arguing about is at what point, like, you know, each percentage of gold changes sound to some degree, but at what point is that change significant?
You could say that, but again, here they're saying. I mean, the Meiri is saying any item, any zahav mibifnim is going to be posel.
Right.
So that it doesn't sound. Yeah, Isaac and then.
I don't understand. when you have a shofar that has gold inside of it.
Yeah.
So, right, we said that when you have a regular shofar with gold at the tip, so that affects the sound. So that seems like the sound is affected at the tip.
That's sort of what, meaning, I would say, in mitzias, in like practicality, the bifnim has more of an impact on the sound than the tip. Yeah, I think that if you think that the tip affects the kol shofar, I think that's more halachic. That because you're blowing in the gold, or because your mouth is touching the gold, therefore any kol that comes out of it is defined as a kol zav. Even if it doesn't actually change the... Remember, they're saying, the Meiri doesn't say that there's a shinui in the kol. It says, in ze kol shofar el kol zav. It's halachic, we define it, because you did your tekiah with zav, we define the kol coming out of that tekiah as halachically kol zav and not kol shofar. Sure.
I didn't really understand why we had to jump to Ruba Kukulo. It's not like following lines of what Akiva was saying. You can avoid making this Mechlal Machlok Mitzis by saying Machlok is the Meiri and the other Rishonim who don't hold the psul of Pizav. Meaning, why wouldn't another Rishonim hold the psul of Mitzvah Pizav is just that it's the Shana Kol Shofar? If such a concept exists, it's not what the test is going to be that the Meiri is going to hold that. Meaning, I should say better. In the Gemara, you have that if the inside is gold, then it's possible, right?
Yeah.
So why shouldn't all the other Rishonim hold that that's also the psul of Mitzvah Pizav? At least all the other Rishonim are going to say that the gather of Kol shofar is that has to be, meaning the gather of kol shofar is that 50% or more of the kol has to be from the shofar. And the lav davka that it's ruach kulo, then just that is what is called kol shofar. If it's more kol shofar than kol zav, whereas Meir is going to say even 1% kol zav is just passes the whole kol shofar.
I mean, most Rishonim, I believe, think that any zav mibifnim, and Pasha's the price, that any zav mibifnim is going to be false.
Okay.
I think the chiddush is the yesh
machshir. Oh, okay. So on the bottom, then you can say it's not close between the Meir and. Meaning, you can say still that
the,
you don't have to say
Rebbe Kukula,
do you?
Because when he says, in kan chashash, lo l'shinu ekov, lo l'kol yotzim inazav, meaning, it's, to me, it seems a little dachuk that somehow, like, meaning 49% and less, there's no chashash, technically, but all of a sudden 51%, there is a chashash. It just happens to overlap with the rove. And I mean, the terminology he's using of Rebbe Kukula just points in the direction of Rebbe Kukula.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, let's just go a little further because. So the other daya, the other shita who says that the psul of zav b'makom anachos peh is a din in the kol shofar is Rabbeinu Manoach in the second daya. Right, if you look at the third makor on the makor sheet, Shalom, would you mind seeing the inami? Right, this is Rabbeinu Manoach, who's a mefarish on the Rambam. My first daya is the chatzitza, which we'll get to next. Inami. Right, so again, the second day of the Rabbeinu Manoach, and the one that he really accepts, is this idea that once there is Zav, the Makom Menachos Piv, so then the Kol, which is coming out of this Tekiah, is defined as a Kol Zav, and not a Kol Shofar. Right, so again, so far we had the Meiri and this Rabbeinu Manoach, we're accepting that the Psul of Makom Menachos Piv is that it defines, that the Kol is not defined as a Kol Shofar, but is rather defined as a Kol Zav. Along these lines is Tosos, right? Not in the context of the Makom Menachos Piv, right? So, again, a parallel to the Shita is Tosos when he's discussing the Psul of Mibifnim. If you see Tosos, right, Tzipeyo Mibifnim Pasul. Moshe, do you see it? Right, Tzipeyo Mibifnim Pasul. Yeah. So, what does Tosos say? Again, very clear.
If you should end Kol Shofar El Kol Zav.
Oh.
It's not actually Kol Shofar, but it's the Kol Zav, right? You're hearing the noise coming from the gold.
Exactly, right. So Tosos, right, along the lines, right, parallel to the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Manoach, again, in terms of the psul of Mibifnim, says the same idea that it's a psul in the Kol Shofar.
Is there not like an actual difference in noise, or are you just saying like...
It doesn't sound like it. It's not halakhically. I mean,
halakhically,
since this Kol is, in Tosos' case, is coming from the gold inside, or according to the Rabbeinu Manoach and the Meiri, it's coming from a tekiah which was on gold. It's the sound coming out of that is halachically defined as a kol zav and not kol shofar. So this first mahalach, this idea that you need a kol shofar, right, and while a kol zav would be possible, is going to work within all the approaches, right? Because all approaches we saw the other day require shmias kol shofar, right? According to the shmia approach, that's the gedr hamitzvah. But even according to the Tzikiyah approach we discussed yesterday, there's still going to be a Tanai of Shmias Kol Shofar, as we learned from the Mishnah Chav Zayin Beis above, Tochabur. So this first Mahalach, which says that the Chisaron is in the Kol Shofar, really works according to all the Mahalachim. Right, of course, if you hold that the koveya is the shmiyas kol shofar, the gedra of the mitzvah is the shmiyah, then of course you need to hear. But even if you think that the gedra of mitzvah is the tekiyah, everyone agrees that there is still going to be a tanai that you hear the kol shofar, and in this case, where it's defined as a kol zav, it's going to be possible. Yes.
So even without that, you can just say that it needs to be a tekiyah in the shofar, and over here it's a tekiyah in the zav.
So we're going to get to that. That's the next malach. Meaning, so far, up until now, we've been discussing Rishonim, where I think Mediyuk, Etzaka, did in the kol. We'll get to the ma'aseh tekiyah right now. Okay, so Ad Kan is the first approach that the Chisaron is in the Kol Shofar, and that easily is explained by everyone, because of the Mishnah Chav Zayin Beis, everyone agrees that you need to have a Shmias Kol Shofar, either because that's the Gedera Mitzvah, or even according to the Tokei approach, that is a necessary Tanai in the Mitzvah. Yes, Yaakov? You got it? Okay. Oh. So the second Mahalach is sort of what Shimi was now pointing to, is that second Mahalach says it's not a din in the Kol Shofar, but rather it's a Chisaron in the Maisa Tekiyah itself. Right, and who is the earliest Rishon to say this? It's very meduyit. Rashi, excellent. Right, if you look at, there are two Rashis. First, look at Rashi and Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. This is in the context of the psul of bimak or the psul of zav b'makom anachas piv. The top Rashi on the page. What does Rashi say? Shalom. Right, shehatikia b'zav v'lo b'shofar. And if you really medayik in this lashon, it's not that the kol is defined as a kol zav; it's that the ma'isa tekiyah is as if you perform the ma'isa tekiyah not with a shofar, but rather with zav. So that's Rashi in the context of the psul of zav b'makom anachas piv. And Rashi l'shitaso says this is also the psul for what? Mibifnim. Excellent. Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Rashi zero maskel mibifnim. Pasul. Go for it. Shalom. Similar lashon. Right. Shatekiyah b'zav. Again, it's about the Maisa Tekiyah not being a Maisa Tekiyah Bishofar, but rather being a Maisa Tekiyah Bizav. So you have the first, right, Makor for this is Rashi, who says it's both as the Psul for Zav B'Makom Anachas Piv, Chavzayin Amanav, and also the Psul for Zav Mibifnim. Rashi L'Shitaso thinks it's all about the Chisaron in the Maisa Tekiyah. After we go through all the Mepharshim, we adopt this approach that's a Chisaron in the Maisa Tekiyah, we're then going to analyze this idea of there being a requirement of a ma'aseh tekiyah. We'll get to that afterwards. Oh. So after Rashi, who is the next very prominent Rishon who says it's a problem in the ma'aseh tekiyah, and did in the Chatzitza? Rabban. Excellent, Uriel. Would you mind, this is the Rabban in the Joshua of Rosh Hashanah. Uriel, would you mind going for it?
I would not mind.
Great.
Okay. Suppose Zav Makom Anachas Piv Pasul, Shlom Makom Anachas Piv Kasher. But if you had Zav that was not where you were blowing it, it seems that it's good, whether it's inside or outside.
Then he says, Vidavka.
Vidavka will be Vachot. And that's Dafka if it's not enough to speak, but it's on the outside. If it's not possible, if it's inside, then it would be possible. Imkain, Eno, Ela, Bidopon, Shabbipiv.
Shabbipiv, right. So now he's going back to the Psul of the Makom Anachas Piv and says, Bepashis, this means, right, that the Makom Anachas Piv refers to the Zav being right where your mouth is, right on the side of the hole where your mouth ends up touching. Right, the Viyesh Omrim.
Viyesh Omrim. I feel Migaba. Even I guess on the rest of the shofar.
Yeah, on the side, right, on the tip, on the side of it. Yeah. Why? Mipnei.
Mipnei your mouth is sauce with feet, because some of that's still going to get in your mouth.
Exactly right. Your mouth goes a little over the side, and it will end up touching the zav there as well.
Okay, I guess in theory, yeah. Oh, Svasa shall take a mass of it, and the mustache is going to get in the middle.
Or at least your lips. I think Svasa is really your upper lip.
I thought Svasa was a mustache, no?
I think it's the upper lip. I think your upper lip, and not everyone has a mustache necessarily, right? Right? Almost right in the gut, right? So, right, so the upper lip will end up covering the Zav. Oh, now there's the key line. The time of the Psul.
Something in the middle.
Oh, there's a hefsik, there's an interruption, there's a break between the piv and the shofar, and now the bichidush of the Ramban says, once I say that the pshat of the psul is it, to use more halacha terminology, I love this terminology, that's it's a psul, it's a chisaron, the ma'isa tekiyah, that your mouth has to actually touch the shofar itself. And when the zav is in between, that's a problem. Shema mina.
Shema mina, shemichimichik, ashok nipiv, v'novach, v'tok, apostle. you're not directly on the shofar, you're kind of blowing into it, and then it's possibly actually directly on the shofar.
So Ramban says, once you understand that the nature of the psul is a din, the maisa tekiya, that your piv, your mouth, has directly touched the shofar, and when the zav is mafsik, that's a problem. He says, hu adin, if the hefsik is not zav, but it's airspace. Because the Ramban is saying what emerges from this halacha is that you need to perform a ma'aseh tekiya with the chafzeh shel shofar. Your mouth needs to touch the shofar, and therefore, if for whatever reason your mouth is not touching the shofar, that's not a proper ma'aseh tekiya. So whether that hefsek is due to zav, the makom anachos piv, or it's due to airspace, either way, that's going to be psul. In what sense? I mean, it's not clear what Rashi would say about the airspace, because he doesn't talk about it. But I think they're similar in the sense that they're both thinking that a chisaron in the ma'aseh tekiya. Right? They're both saying that when you do a tekiya and there's gold on the makom anachos piv, that's not a proper ma'aseh tekiya b'shofar.
Right, but it seems to me like the
yes, but meaning, so what is Rashi? Meaning when he says shat tekiya b'zav, isn't he basically saying that when the zav is in between your mouth and the tekiya, that it's chotzeitz, and if it's not considered a ma'isa tekiya in the shofar, with the shofar, it's a ma'isa tekiya with the zav.
Yeah, but Rashi says the same when he's talking about the inside, but it's not a...
No, both, but Rashi and Chavzai Naman Aleph, shat tekiya b'zav, v'lo b'shofar. Meaning Rashi thinks that in order for the ma'isa tekiya to be defined as a ma'isa tekiya b'shofar, you need to be, I think, directly touching the shofar. That's Chavzai Naman Aleph. And you need to be that the air that you're blowing into the inside of the shofar, which is shofar and not zav. So both in terms of what you're touching and in terms of where the air is flowing into, those are both two components to the ma'aseh tekiya according to Rashi. That's why I'm learning. Yeah.
These two shofars don't understand together the mishnah kol as being a psul in the kol.
Exactly.
So the only machlokas here is.
Meaning,
yeah. Sorry. What? Yeah.
I'm not, well, okay. But that's pasha. Meaning, everyone's going to agree that the everyone's going to agree that you need.
Right. So I'm saying. So yeah. Then the machlokas lechar. Why isn't the machlokas matzias between the Meiri and everyone else who's saying pim tzuzav isn't the shemikol?
Well, again, I think the Ramban and Rashi and the others are more comfortable saying, in a case where there's zav makom hanachos piv, right? Well, let's say matzias, it doesn't actually change. Doesn't actually change the sound of the shofar, right? In that case, right? So again, so everyone's agreeing that in a case where there's zav but malkum anachos piv, right?
You're going to say it would change the kol, no?
No, it's that the kol is defined as a kol zav, right? So again, so I think they're arguing about what, you know, would you rather consider it to be a ma'isa tekiya bezav or rather define it as kol zav?
What's the hakriyah for Rashi to say one way or the other? Especially Rashi's on the shmiya.
So we'll get that in a moment. Okay? I think he just might think there's more mistaber. Because since it doesn't affect the kol, it's easier to say, and it's affecting what you're touching. I think he just thinks it's a cleaner interpretation to just say it affects the ma'aseh tekiya and not the gedra of the kol. The kol. Yeah.
Just to be clear, both Rashi and Ramban say that it's in the
ma'aseh tekiya. Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly.
The ma'aseh tekiya. And the difference is just how it is affected by how the ma'aseh tekiya is affected by the zav.
What do you mean the difference? Right?
Like,
the difference between who and one and what?
Ramban and Rashi.
Well, I don't think there's such a difference. Meaning, I don't think there's such a difference. In the case where there is Zav, the Makom Anachos Piv, they're both saying that it's not a Ma'aseh Tekiya B'Shofar because there is Zav interrupting you. Ramban adds, that's also a psul in the airspace. And Rashi adds, in the case of Pnim, that's also Chisaron in the Ma'aseh Tekiya. So again, both of them, I think they both agree in the case of the Zav, the Makom Anachos Piv. But then they both, you know, branch out in different ways. Rashi branches out in the case of Mizav Bifnim, and the Ramban branches out by the airspace case.
But there's no reason to think that they would...
Not necessarily. Yeah, here.
It's probably a very big stretch, but would we be able to say that everyone who says there's an issue with the sound from Gold and therefore it's not okay...
Let's hold off. We're going to get that in a moment. Let's hold off for now. I just want to get that afterwards, okay? So let's first see the Mefarshim who accept that that's a chisaron in the ma'aseh tekiya. First we had the Rashi, then we had the Ramban, and then what other, you know, Rishon, very prominent Rishon, Chachmei Svarad, who basically quotes the Ramban, Chedushei Ha Ritva. Right? Right. We'll get to that in a moment. Right? The Ritva in Chav Zayin on the base basically says, does anyone have the Lashon of the Ritva here? Right. Oh, Shalom is the Ritva expert. Right? So, right, this is the Ritva in Dir Masal Tzipeyu Zav. Again, he says, Pirish, Dahavi, you see this? See it? That's okay. Right? Same idea. There's a chatzitza, there's a break in between, right? And there can't be any break between the shofar and the tokiyah. And then he says, Umikan is skipping a little bit. And then he has like the Ramban's extension. Umikan she'im nafach bo mibachutz. Same thing. And therefore, if there's airspace in between the piv and the shofar, like the Ramban, he's going to say it's a psul. Because part of, right, according to the Ramban and the Ritzvah, part of the gedder of a ma'aseh tekiyah is that your piv needs to be touching the shofar itself. So whether it's separated by airspace or by zov, it's going to be a problem. Oh. So you have Rashi, we have the Ramban, we have the Ritzvah, and we have like, we'll just do three more really quickly. And Rabbeinu Avraham min Ahar also says this really quickly. This is the second Makor on the second page. Do you have it, Yosef?
Yeah.
You see, the reason why we're going through all these Mefarshim, because it's going to be important to align some of them with what their conception of the Gedder HaMitzvah is, and some interesting things are going to emerge. That's why it might seem a little repetitive, but it's important to pin down each person's shita, because when you start aligning different shitas, interesting things emerge.
So, Rav Menor says, B'malkam anachas piv pasul, she'azav mafsik bein ha'peh v'ashofer v'atokeah in piv nogeah b'shofer.
Exactly, right? Again, right, focusing on the need, on the chizor, on the ma'aseh tekiah, on the need for the piv to be touching the shofar directly. And then you have the remil anil, again, also says the same idea that the problem of the zub, makam anachos piv, is that it's a chitzitza between the piv and the shofar, and that's a chisaron in the ma'aseh tekiah. The last mefarish we're going to see for now is the tur. Right? If you look at the end of the tur, they quoted, he basically quotes the Ramban. Quotes this Ramban. Yona, would you mind reading some of the Yesh Mefarshim in the Torah?
Where is that?
See, the Torah is the third to last.
No, I'm saying.
Where? Oh, Yesh Mefarshim, sorry. Yesh is, yeah.
See, Pei was Avlak Manachos Piva, Afilu Ba'orech HaShofar, Im Hu Miyad, Samach HaRosha, Betzara, Katzer, Pasel. So there are those who say that the Manachos Manachos Piva, even if it's on the length of the Shofar, if it's next to the Rosh, where I guess the mouth is going to be,
exactly.
It's on a Katzer, it's Pasel. Because he's like putting his mouth on it, but there's
right, either the mustache or his upper lip, right. either one, right?
The nimtza hazav chotes bein tzvasel, and the zav will be making a chatzitza. So if he's far away from the shofar and he blows it and he's not touching it, it's puzzle because he's not touching the shofar.
Exactly. So again, the tour is very important. The tour you'll see is given the tour's, you know, conception of the Gedder HaMitzvah. We'll connect it to it in a moment. So again, so you have Rashi, Ramban, Ritzva, Rabbeinu Avraham min Ahar, and Rimi Lanil, and the tour all saying it's a chisaron in the Ma'aseh Tekiah. Before we analyze the basis of the shita for saying that, you know, there's this importance to the Gedder of the Ma'aseh Tekiah, there are certain achronim who point to a Rishon as arguing on this need for the tokeya to be touching the shofar. Anybody know a Rishon that...
Rambam.
Okay, good. Right, so some achronim say, oh, if you look at the Rambam in Aleph Gimel, anybody have the Rambam here in Aleph Gimel? The Rambam in Aleph Gimel, the famous, world-famous Rambam, explaining why there's no mitzvah of Avera to shofar hagazel, and he explains, oh, because the Gedder HaMitzvah is all in the Shmiah, and he has this line, Afal Pi, he's like, Afal Pi Shelo Nagabo Velo Higbio, even though you're not touching it, and even though you're not picking it up, it's fine. And therefore, Sanhedrin Achronim said, oh, so in stark contrast to all these Mefarshim, right, who say that, oh, you need to have this, you need to have a ma'aseh tekiah where your mouth is directly touching the shofar. Oh, the Rambam seems to argue. But we stop. There's one added word, which I think is important. Lo higbia what? Hashomea. If you look very carefully, the Rambam is only saying that the shomea doesn't need to touch the shofar. And the shomea doesn't need to pick it up. Because again, in context, the Rambam is trying to highlight that, oh, the Gedder HaMitzvah is the Shmiah, and therefore the right? The shofar itself is not the chetzah shel mitzvah. The chetzah shel mitzvah is rather the kol. So he's trying to highlight, because look, the shomea, he doesn't have to touch the shofar at all. So don't consider the shofar to be the chetzah shel mitzvah. The kol is the chetzah shel mitzvah. But the Rambam, in context and in Lashon, is talking about the shomea. But you don't necessarily know from the Rambam whether the tokeya would need to touch the shofar.
In fact, you could say that from the fact that he says shomea.
Exactly. From the fact that he says shomea, perhaps the tokeya dafka would have to. And if you look at the Magid Mishnah there, he actually seems to say that. Or the Magid Mishnah in the middle of the piece there, he has this line where he says, Afa pisha ha tokeya nagabo, mikamakam ena shomea nogeya boklal. So the Magid Mishnah, exactly along the lines of Yosef is saying, is differentiating that the Rambam is specifically talking about the shomea, but ena chanami, that the tokeya would need to touch. So again, so while some achronim seem to be medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees with this idea of the ma'isa tekiya, and again, a lot of them explain, oh look, Rambam l'shitaso, since it's just din in the gedra mitzvah is all about the shmia, who cares about the ma'isa hatekiya? And therefore, who cares whether the tokeya touches it? That's the lumdus they try to say over. But it's important to note, the Rambam only says that the shomea doesn't need to touch it, but in the chanami, it could very well be, and according to the Magid Mishnah, it seems like it, that the tokeya maybe does need to touch the shofar. There are a couple of hands? No? One down. Okay. So now let's analyze this idea, right? This idea that there is a specific requirement regarding the ma'isa tekiya, right? So again, which approach does that seem to work out very nicely within, if there is a requirement regarding the gedra of the ma'isa tekiya?
Has to be the
chatzitza. No, that's for sure. I'm saying in terms of the gedra ha-mitzvah, in terms of what the mitzvah of shofar is all about. If you think that the mitzvah is all about the tekiah. Right? So again, if you think that the mitzvah is either all about the tekiah, or it's also about the tekiah, right? Again, either you take approach number two, that the gedra mitzvah is all about the tekiah, or even approach number three, that it's both shmia and tekiah. So then it's very understandable, right, why there would be a hakpada in terms of what there's a specific gedra of what the ma'isa tekiah must look like, because that is the gedra mitzvah. Whenever something is the gedra mitzvah, there are obviously going to be a lot of rules pertaining to how the gedra mitzvah is going to be performed. But even within this idea, you still have to figure out, okay, so even if there is a need for a ma'isa tekiya, so then why do you think you need to touch? Why do you think your mouth needs to touch the shofar? Why is part of the gedra of the tekiya for your mouth to touch the shofar? Anybody? What? So it's not about the sound being from the shofar, because if you're meaning there's airspace, it's all.
Is that considered really that he's blowing through a
shofar? Okay, good. You're on the other, along the right.
If you hold the mitzvah tekiah, you have to say that he's doing tekiah shofar.
Okay, good. Because yeah, if you hold that the focus of the mitzvah is the tekiah, so what's the chatzah shel mitzvah? The shofar. And there's a general idea, we'll see the Magid Mishnah, the same Magid Mishnah Aleph Gimel, which says that generally when you're dealing with a mitzvah, right, you have to touch the chatzah shel mitzvah. Right? So again, I mean the Magid Mishnah Aleph Gimel is trying to explain why you don't need to touch the shofar, because he's going within the Rambam, who says, oh, because the chatzah shel mitzvah is not the shofar. And you contrast that with when it comes to lulav, right, and matzah, where the chatzah shel mitzvah is the matzah and is the lulav, of course you need to touch it. Right, so the Magid Mishnah seems to be, you know, presenting this klal that generally you need to touch the chatzah shel mitzvah. So if you take the approach that the gedra mitzvah is the tekiya, so again, y'all, so what is the chatzah shel mitzvah? The shofar. So again, if the chatzah shel mitzvah, so if you think that the gedra mitzvah is the tekiya, and then that means the shofar is the chatzah shel mitzvah, so then it makes sense why part of the gedra ha-mitzvah would be for you to do the ma'isa mitzvah with touching the chetzah shel mitzvah.
And you don't have to touch it with your mouth?
Yeah, because that's the tzura. Yeah, that's the tzura.
That's the same with matzah.
Yeah, but again, lulav is with your hands. Obviously, it all depends. I mean, the idea the Magid Mishnah is saying, right, I'll just read the line inside, right, is the idea is that when it comes to mitzvos, right, you always need to engage directly with the chetzah shel mitzvah. So again, if it's lulav, that's through your hands. With matzah and shofar, it's through your mouth. But, right? So the Magid Mishnah has this line, right, of a lulav umatzah, Ein adam yachol latzeis yidei chavasa behen ela b'negiyas kufan. Right? You can't be yotzei lulav and matzah without touching them themselves. In context, it seems to be saying, because they are the chatzah shel mitzvah. The only reason why you don't have to touch the shofar, says the Magen Mishnah, is because there, context of the shofar, according to the Rambam, the chetz of shomitzah is the coal, and not the shofar.
So but in theory, if you were nafach and didn't actually touch it, you blew it like a fart, that wouldn't be good because you're dafking and nafach.
Exactly, that's what the Ramban, that's what they're all saying. Exactly. So again, so we're saying now, this second approach, it says that there's like this geder of the maisa tekiya, right? We say it works beautifully within the within those mefarshim who say that the geder of mitzvah is all focused on the tekiya. But we can't stop there. Because if you line up the shitos, right, a number of the shitos that we just said who think that the chisaron is a chisaron in the maisa tekiya are also the mefarshim who adopt the shmiya approach. The geder of mitzvah is the shmiya. So let's go through examples. Can anybody name me some of them? Tur. That's going backwards. But the tur was right. Brought a raya from the Mishnah Chav Zayin Beis that the geder of mitzvah is the shmiya. Yet the tur here adopts the Ramban and says you need a ma'aseh tekiya. Good. So the tur. Who else? Rashi. Right? Rashi in Sefer Pardes was the one who says that the geder of mitzvah is shmiya. So we have the tur. We have Rashi, not in that order. But what? The Ritva. I will get to the Ramban in a second. Right? The Ritva. Right, the Ritzvah, remember, it says, oh, the Geder, when talking about the Nisuch HaBracha, it says the Geder is Lama Gimel, or sorry, Lama Dalet, I think. Right, he says the Geder Mitzvah is Shmiah, it's because connected to Hurei Tshuva. So the Ritzvah clearly says the Geder Mitzvah is Shmiah, but yet here he says the Chisaron is in the Maisa Tekiah. Shlomo, did you mention Ramban? What? Did you mention Ramban? Yeah?
No, I just said the Ramban.
Oh, so the Ramban here doesn't. Ramban clearly says Shmiah, but he doesn't say. He doesn't say that the Chisaron is in the Maisa Tekiah. It's not clear from the Rambam.
The Ramban isn't clear,
though, right? The Ramban, because what is the one comment to the Ramban that might imply that he's a Shmiya person?
That
has to do with the shape of the.
Oh, right, yeah.
Exactly. He said, right, remember the Ramban in the Drash of Rosh Hashanah said, why does it have to be Kafuf? Because Kafuf connected to Bimahara B'Tshuva, just like it's Bikafuf, you're lave to do Tshuva. So again, well, so while it's not explicit, the pashtus, if you're a Hurei Tshuva person, you're also a Shmiya person. Because the idea is like it's all internal, right? You listen, right? You listen to the shofar and it's Mahara B'Tshuva. So again, so we have Rashi explicit, Sefer Pardes. You have Ritzvah explicit. We have Tur explicit and the Ramban implicit. So all these Rishonim who are adopting that the Geder Mitzvah is the Shmiya, but yet here they say there's a specific Geder in terms of how the Maisa Tekiah must take place. And the question is, why? If the whole focus is on the Shmiah, who cares how the Maisa Tekiah take? Who cares about the Maisa Tekiah? As long as there is a kol shofar generated and you hear it, you're yotzei the mitzvah. So what comes out of these mefarshim is a very important yesod, which we developed on the first year, ironically, for Rabbeinu Tam. Remember the Rav said that even Rabbeinu Tam, who held that the Nisach HaBracha was al Tekiah, he says, even he can hold that the Gedra Mitzvah is the Shmiah. What's the breakdown of the Rav? There's a Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah. So what's emerging from these Rishonim, Rashi, Pashas of the Ramban, the Ritzvah, the Torah, that even they who think that the Gedra, that the Kiyama Mitzvah is the Shmiah, it seems to come out of all these Makaros that they still think that there's a Maisa Mitzvah of the Maisa Tekiah.
Even though they said, like Rosh, for instance, is Shem Mitzvah, he has Shem Mitzvah below.
Because that's referring to the Kiyam Mitzvah. That they're focusing on the Kiyam Mitzvah, that the Iker Kiyam Mitzvah is on the Shmiyah, but in certain...
Out of his way to say that it's not the Kiyah.
Yes. But you see from here that there still are requirements, right, regarding the Maisa Tekiah, because the Maisa Tekiah, it emerges, is the Maisa Mitzvah.
Is it possible that the Kiyam Mitzvah is out also doing the Maisa Mitzvah?
No. Okay. No. And that... is, for example, here, there's an airspace, right? You blew a shofar, there's a kol shofar, right? You're hearing a kol shofar, but yet you're not yotzei because you didn't do the ma'aseh tekiah correctly. Right. So it's very important, and this is why, you know, Derek Limit-wise, is why I thought it was important to do the Hakdama before we got into all the details, for an example like this, right? Once you know that Rashi, perhaps the Ramban, the Ritzvah, and the Torah all hold of that the Gedra Mitzvah is a Shmiya, so now their pshat in this sugya, that it's a din the Maisa Tekiah takes on much more significance, right? It establishes this very important yesod that even if the Kiyama Mitzvah is one thing, there still might be a Maisa Mitzvah, which is something else. There might be Nafkamina that might play into Cherish up to Akata, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. Yes.
It's kind of arbitrary. Why should Rashi understand it this way over the Meiri? Meaning, we're going to say now the Meiri doesn't have
the Meiri doesn't necessarily, right, you don't know from the Meiri. Oh, ironically, it happens to be the Meiri and Pesachim held the both.
Right.
So he could have easily have said this.
Still within his mouth, it's like, it's just what.
So again, it seems like, what do they think? In the case where you do, when there was, again, we have, particularly for the, meaning specifically for the Meiri, because he holds of a Ma'aseh Tekiah, because he thinks that the Ma'aseh Tekiah Pasha is part of the Gedera Mitzvah, so he could have learned like the Ramban and Rashi, presumably, from that standpoint. It could be that he just thought it was more misdaber than when you're to say that when there's Zah, the Malkam Menachos Piv, that instead of defining it as a Tekiah Bezav, there was more misdaber to say that it was a Kol Zah.
So it's just what
Yishan
thought was more misdaber?
Yeah, from that perspective. That's it. Again, it needs a little work. Again, for other Shitas, you'd love to say, oh, good, meaning, let's say, theoretically, for the Rabbeinu Manoach, meaning it could be Rabbeinu Manoach who's commenting on the Rambam. So let's say the Rabbeinu Manoach is Shmia all the way. So then you can explain more Kishmak and say, oh, Rabbeinu Manoach wanted to stay away from the Ma'aseh Tekiah because he thought that the Gedera Mitzvah is only focused on the Shmia. That would be the more, but for Meiri, I guess, once you know a little bit more, in this case, since he also holds it together, that the Tekiah is part of the Mitzvah, you probably have to go a different route. Yeah.
From the fact that the Mishnayos tell us specifically what horn even has to be used.
What needs to?
The Mishnayos tell us what the shofar has to be, like shofar horn, what works, what doesn't. We know exactly the object. From there, can we already derive that regardless of what you call Shmi or Tekiah, the mice and mitzvah has to be Tekiah? Because how do we say the Mishnayos?
Is there between a mice and Tekiah and let's say the Chefzah Shel Shofar? Those are two different things. Because you could say, meaning the coal, you could say it's, oh, the coal shofar shall ail. You know what I'm saying? Even if the exclusive focus is on Shmia, you could have said the shofar, the coal shofar coming from an ail, right, has its own, like, zikaron factor, let's say. And you start saying there's no right, I mean, you're making a good point. You're saying, oh, the fact that we care.
From
what?
The zikaron would be from the Shmia, which is powered by the tequila.
True, but it doesn't mean that tekiah could be a hechsher. Just like binyan sukkah is a hechsher for the mitzvah of sukkah, right? Not ba'av, you know. So you could say, you know, the tekiah shofar is a hechsher ba'alma, right?
And when it comes to sukkah, eating is the ma'aseh mitzvah.
That's for sure. Yeah, living in the sukkah is the ma'aseh mitzvah for sure.
And the kinyan.
Yeah, exactly. There, it's the same thing.
So
exactly. So again, but just the fact that we care about what type of shofar it is, that itself is not necessarily a raya. Because you say, oh, you need to hear a kol shofar shel ayin, because of what that represents. But here, it's not about what type of shofar it is. Here, according to these Rishonim, it's about the gedra of the ma'aseh tekiah. So that's the raya.
Because we don't say you hear kol shofar shel ayin, it just says you can't use of a part.
No, I was just giving you an example. Meaning,
I'm saying because the Mishnah only says you can't use of a part because part of the ma'aseh shofar, the gemara says anything has to be. But,
so,
but it doesn't say. I mean, if it would have said.
And I was just giving you an example. I was just saying that just because you care about the type of shofar it is, that is not necessarily a raya that the ma'aseh tekiah is part of has the status of a ma'aseh mitzvah.
Every attack on the shofar itself had to do with the shape or.
So what does that do with? Doesn't have to do with the ma'aseh tekiah.
But what? Even though the Mishnah only said from animal, but you can't blow out of like a
exactly, because you need to hear a specific kol shofar. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Meaning, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to hear a specific kol shofar. You can't hear the kol shofar from a para, because that's going to trigger inkat
degma.
But it's all about the shmia. But I mean, it's all about the shmia. But you still care about what type of shofar generates that kol shofar. Okay? Oh. So far we developed two mahalchim, right? In terms of what the nature of the psul is. First mahalach was that it was a psul, a chisaron in the kol shofar. We pointed out that easily goes according to all approaches. The second approach was that it was a chisaron in the ma'aseh tekiah. Pointed out that works out very easily with the tekiah approach. We pointed out, but as comes out, even the shmi approach, right, what would emerge if you line up the shitos, would sound like they're saying that even if the kiyama mitzvah is the shmi, it would emerge that there is still the ma'aseh mitzvah is still the ma'aseh tekiah. So now we're getting to the third and final approach, right? What is the third and final approach? So what is the nature of the psul, Moshe? Excellent. In Kategor Nasa Sanhedrin. So we first have this in the Chidushe Maharik. Right? If you look at the first makor on the top of the second page, the Chidushe Maharik, right, is here is the Maharik's parish on the Rambam. Right? First he quotes the Ramban, that's a chisaron in the Maisa Tekiya, and then he goes for a Va'od. Shner, once he got you, we've got to take advantage.
Sure, yeah.
Would you mind going for the Va'od?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Va'od, ki ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah, hu dumya me'hadvarm ha-naisim b'fnim, sh'hayu b'vig de'lovan b'yom kippurim, right? Not b'vig de'zov. Avlohi b'vig de'zov.
Exactly.
Yankin m'shofar, enu yochel lios mitzv b'zov, so that's enkin tegan
ha-naisa. Exactly. Right. He doesn't use the words, but right, the second day in the Marik is saying that the psul has nothing to do with the kol shofar, has nothing to do with the ma'isa tekiya. It's rather that when there is zov, right, that triggers the psul of in kategor nasa sanegor. So that's the, and we have to analyze this. But first, let's get the second, right? So first we have the Marik, who says this, and we also have the Maril, who quotes this. Right, the Sefer Maril, Davi, would you mind? The second to last Makor in the sheet.
But
Mari Segal. Mari Segal, yeah. Oh, right. So the Mari Segal, quoted by the Maril, is basically again like the Marik, is saying that the psul here is the psul of in kategor nasa sanegor. So just like in kategor nasa sanegor is posel a shofar shalpara, right? It's also going to be posel a shofar which has zahav on it. There are a number of questions on this. Yeah.
So, why did everyone else not say anything
about this? Okay, good. To figure out why everyone else doesn't apply it. Good.
Second one was on their own thing, right? Why would any gold bechutz be on?
Excellent. So question number one on these mefarshim, we'll go back to the other mefarshim. Okay. So question number one on the Marik and the Mari Segal is number one, if it's about in kategor nasa senegor, so then why is it davka b'makom hanachas piv? And why is it davka b'fnim? If you have gold mibachutz, which is not mishtana the kol, at the end of the day, there's still gold in the shofar. Shouldn't you still have in the problem of in kategor nasa sanegor? So again, so question number one is if the psul is in kategor, according to other approaches about the kol shofars of the Maisa Tekiya, then of course it matters where it is. But if it's about in kategor nasa sanegor, who cares where it is? As long as there's gold on the shofar, that should trigger in kategor. Yeah.
Saying that the fact that there's gold in it, and then once we say that since it's a remembrance, it's as if it's inside. He's saying, so you put the gold in there, and then when you blow it, now that it's as if it's inside because it's a remembrance, that's the gold that's gonna.
Why specifically in the Makom Hanachas
Piv? That's what I'm confused about. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what's great. What
is that? What he's saying that like because it's a remembrance, therefore it's inside, and then because. And once it's as if it's inside because it's a remembrance, once you have the gold on there, that's gold is going to trigger.
He is saying that, but he's not. But they're not explaining. But why dafka there? Right? I mean, they're just saying, oh, there's gold. We know gold is in kategor nasa senegor, and we know that shofar is considered lifnim dummy. So in kategor nasa senegor. But the question is, but it's very clear from the brisa that not any gold triggers in kategor nasa senegor. It's dafka b'makom hanachas piv and dafka mibifnim. So that's question number one. Question number one is again, why Davka in those two places? Oh, Chassidus Shigid over here. The Sfas Emes, right? What is the Sfas Emes? Is Kasha? It's the last makor. Go for it. Says you see the Lo Shayach Hacha.
Yeah. The Lo Shayach Hacha. Ain't get to get nasa.
Oh. So Sfas Emes says, why shouldn't Inka take or nasa senegor apply? Because
the goof of the mitzvah is not from the gold.
So. Exactly. The goof of mitzvah is the shofar.
Right.
Right? And not the zav. So Sfas Emes is saying, right, he's asking a second question. Basically, why should in kategor nasa senegor apply? Or in kategor only applies when it's the goof of mitzvah is either the para or the zav. But here, the goof of mitzvah is the shofar, and this is only on the outside or the like.
She answers his own question.
I mean, both questions answer each other. Excellent. So both questions answer each other. But the Sfas Emes is telling us that in kategor nasa senegor only applies when the zav is part of the gufa mitzvah. And perhaps the only time the zav is part of the gufa mitzvah is when the zav is the makom hanachas piv, when it's the part where the person, the tokeya's mouth is touching, or when it's bifnim, the part where the kol, right, where the kol is passing through. So perhaps the Chedushim Arik and Mari Segal are going to say that in Kategor Nasa Sanegor are only triggered by Zav, B'mokum Anachas Piv, and Bibifnim, because only in those two places is the Zav part of the, we'll call it, to use the Sfas HaMes Lashon, only in those cases is it considered part of the Gufa Mitzvah, because only those two parts of the shofar are, you know, actively involved in the Mitzvah. The Mokum Anachas Piv, because that's the place where the person's Piv is touching, where the Maisa Tekiyah takes place, and the Bifnim is where the Kol, you know, coal transfers through, and therefore it's only those. I'll take all the comments in a moment. So that answers perhaps for the Ma'arik and Ma'ari Segal. Again, it's only in those places is the Gzav considered part of the Gufa Mitzvah, but Mibachutz, right, and any other place, that's not considered, that's just it's an added thing on the outside. That's not part of the Gufa Mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't trigger in Kategor Nazas Sanegor. And then just to answer Moshe's question from before, Moshe's question is, so why doesn't everyone else give this psul? Right? And the answer is, perhaps based on Sfas HaEmes, right? They're going to say that the only time in Kategor Nasa Sanegor applies is when the Guf HaMitzvah itself, meaning the Cheftish HaMitzvah itself, is fully associated with the Cheda Egel. That's only when the shofar itself is a shofar Shel Para, or when it comes a big day Zav. The Begadim themselves are Zav, so only then is that enough to trigger in Kategor Nasa Sanegor. But here, where the shofar itself is totally fine, and it's just Zav, even B'makam Anachas Piv, and even B'bifnim, that's not enough for these other Mefarshim. They think it has to be the entire thing, but the Marik and Marisegel will say, no, it's enough for it to be the parts of the shofar which are involved in the Tekiyah itself. That seems to be the Nekudas Machlokes. Now I'll take all the questions.
Would you say it's an Inyan Bayakrit?
What?
The Chor and Sassam is just saying, or the Teres of Sassam is just saying it's an Inyan Bayakrit, yeah?
Why is Bayakrit connected to Gufa Mitzvah?
Because meaning, goal is somewhere else on the shofar, then it's, you would say the handle of the mach that was who said it's going to be in Bayak. The point is to be macro. You're macro with Zav. So if you're doing the avoda, you're actually blowing into Zav, that's probably to your next name.
Okay, so you're saying it's like a shir in Bayak.
Yeah.
You're saying the idea of Gufa Mitzvah is like a shir in Bayak.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it. Shneur.
Kind of. So I thought Shneur was actually saying what I wanted to ask first and then over, but. I think I can understand the point of saying Gufa Mitzvah nice all day as Zav. If, for example, the Kafa Machta were made out of gold. The Big Day Zahav, I understand that they're Ma'akiv, but the Gufa Mitzvah, Avad HaKatara, Lechora, there's nothing to do with the Zahav.
But it could be that the Mitzvah, meaning there's a separate Mitzvah of wearing Big Day Kahuna. So it's not Mitzad, the...
Oh, from the Ketoros, exactly, yeah.
I mean, it's not the Mitzad, the Ketoros. It's not the Mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna itself. So there, that is the Gufa Mitzvah.
I assume too much.
Yeah, last question, we'll just go up.
Does that mean that according to my verse, you could have a shofar that's entirely covered from the inside and outside of the shofar and it would be fine?
Well, there might be other problems.
So the coal is
not the shofar.
Yeah,
it's the mishtan of the coal.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone agrees if you're mishtan of the coal, that's a problem. And the price says, right, if you have something mibifnim, or even something mechutus, which is mishtan of the coal, that's going to be posel. Because nothing other than shofar can create the coal.
So is the coal zahav issue? It's not a coal zahav, it's a coal anything else issue, right?
Yeah.
So what's the general question? Like, how come if we know one example of the Nach and the Jews, when they
did you say a Nach?
Nach.
In
the
Vienna. Oh, in Nach. I thought it was
before. So they certain times like the Jews, like, they take, like again, in the very beginning of the Vienna, so they take they loot the city when they shouldn't have, and they should. So how come, like they could go in somewhere there? So why are we saying, like,
it's something about the Cheda Egel, meaning it's not that every. I mean, you're asking why in Kategor Nasa Sanegor only synonymous.
On like only certain events.
I mean, it's Cheda Egel. I mean, Cheda Egel is like, you know, it was like right at the beginning, we were forming as a nation. You know, Moshe is on our Sinai accepting the Torah, we're about to start, and then we, whatever you say in Cheda Egel, Pepashas, Rashi, we're worshiping Avodah Zarah, like at the very beginning, there's nothing worse than that. So in Kategor Nasa Sanegor is Davka for Cheda Egel. Not every single, sure, if in Kategor Nasa Sanegor is connected to every sin of Kal Yisrael throughout history, we'd probably run out of things to do.
Like getting the land all of a sudden.